welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Well, welcome, guys. We're fresh back from SC12 in Salt Lake City. Did you have a good show?
It was good for me, Rich. Busy.
Yeah.
SC's always busy. Seemed like, Rich, seemed like there were fewer people there. One of the things I didn't hear announced, and maybe it was announced when I wasn't there, is what the head count was this year. I thought it was surprising. They always announce the head count.
Oh, I sat through a press conference on Monday, and the number they threw out there was, I believe it was 9,333 or something.
So down about 3K.
I'm actually thinking it was probably closer to 8. I think that 9,000 number included all the caterers and everybody that was moving boxes in and out, all the day laborers and stuff.
Certainly numbers were down off peak numbers.
It didn't include all the people running around trying to fix the Wi-Fi that didn't work.
Did you guys hear the deal on that?
Yeah, Salt Lake made Cynet use their Wi-Fi. What I heard.
That was awful.
They used the Wi-Fi that was
They had to
the
use
building?
The facility Wi-Fi as part of the contract, which I would think that SC would be big enough to tell them, no, we'll find someplace else. We bring our own network.
Oh, that's really disappointing because guess what? We're going back to Salt Lake City, guys.
I liked it as a town and a facility, but the Wi-Fi was horrible. But I was over at the student cluster section competition, and I was using the wired Wi-Fi, and I have some amazing numbers to share at some point in an upcoming podcast. I went out and finally tested it because I was always amazed at the speed.
So, Rich, what's the topic for today?
Yeah, what is the topic for today, Rich? Damn it. Get to the topic.
Well, of course, you know, at the SC conference, we always have the top 500 come out. And the big surprise was not who was at the top, but who did not submit at all. And that was the Blue Water System at NCSA. They elected not to put a number in. And apparently they're putting a stake in the ground. So let's start with you, Dan. What did you think when you saw this news?
It's interesting. I was pretty surprised. I expected that there would be a number submitted. And I don't know anybody over there, but in reading about this and talking to some folks about this, is what I'm hearing is that the story, they wanted to actually do the science and get going on the system because it's kind of late. There were some problems in getting this whole thing together with IBM doing it, then not doing it, and all of that. But on the other hand, I get the sense that this is kind of a shot across the bow of the whole philosophy in the industry that you build a big system, you've got to submit a big LIMPAC, that you've got to get that trophy up on the wall. And I think they're saying they don't care anymore.
Henry, what do you think?
I think it's a good thing. We've talked on the shows before about LIMPAC and how it is not representative of the real world, and I thought it took a lot of guts to go down this path, but I think it's a good thing, you know, that people look back and reflected, why do we need to rank systems, and isn't it about what you do with it, not how many flops you can get out of it?
I would agree to an extent that, of course, LIMPAC isn't the be-all, end-all. And as I've said to a couple of people at the show, you know, they're talking about exascale. What's the most important exascale app? And I've said LIMPAC over and over again. But I do think that there's some value to knowing what's out there, knowing what the state of the art is. I think that that helps secure money to build these systems. And I think that it has that race to the top of the charts has also helped push innovation.
Well, you're definitely right there, Dan.
And yeah, I'm not going to take that, Henry.
I'm not going to disagree with Henry either. But my first reaction when I saw Blue Waters didn't submit is, oh my gosh, they must have gotten a really lousy number.
Yeah,
and they decided to not give one. Well, I've since learned, at least I've been told that that is not the case. There has not been a big a Linpack run on the entire machine.
So they haven't done it at all.
That's correct. And I think it'll be part of the acceptance, but not the whole machine. I think they have to do something with Linpack.
They have to do HPCC.
They probably won't publish anything.
I think probably they have to do HPCC.
Sure,
Linpack's
sure.
a piece of it, but that doesn't mean they have to publish it.
So Bill Kramer, who's the lead over there, he wrote a pretty short little editorial about, you know, does Top 500 even matter? And, you know, we're about what you said. We're doing science here, and it's time to stop this train.
I think, though, that...
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
Is every HPC system required to run in operation... Do we need to do any I.O.?
No.
We don't need to do any
I.O. Yes, okay. We do.
The last supercomputer with no I.O. I think it didn't even have an internet connection.
I will say we do need to do I.O. Yes.
Well, we do need to do I.O. We have to at least checkpoint jobs because they're not all going to finish. You know, in this day and age, if, you know, you get the giant Linpack number and you know, your system has a reliability issue and you can't checkpoint fast enough and you can't really output real science because you're always spending all your time in, you know, writing files out because you put all your money into the computational end of it. What good is it?
I mean, you've got yourself a big hunk of junk. You've got a dragster that you're trying to use like a minivan.
All right. When's the last time anybody in Detroit, Dallas, Houston... submitted top 500 numbers, Rich?
In Detroit, I haven't seen one for ages.
Me neither. Dallas, Houston, the oil patch?
The oil companies? The oil companies, pretty much not. No, in fact, I would guess they've got machines that rival anything at the top of the list.
You know what? They're about making money. Doing actual science to make, you know, money for their company and stockholders. This has become its own little sub-industry. It might be good for getting money from Congress.
That's what I'm wondering. That's my angle. And look at how the investment from other countries has come in. And I think that some of that is based on being on this list.
Well, sure. We need to change the list to make it reasonable and valuable and to have something realistic for getting science done.
Yeah, I would absolutely. And actually, this goes back to an argument we had way back when in our little podcast here, Henry, where Rich and I were arguing for something along the lines of HPCC as a substitute for Linpack, or at least I was arguing for that. I'm not sure where Rich was on it, but I would like to see a set of benchmarks that actually mimic the broad categories of compute that need to be done on these systems.
Right. There's interconnect things in there. But but the real question is HPCC was written, you know, it's coming up 6-8 years ago. Is that, given how current applications work, is HPCC even current and useful? That's a question, not a statement, Dan. Do we need to constantly relook at these benchmarks? I mean, the HPCS machines are close to being delivered. Is it time to look at another set of benchmarks for the next generation machine? HPCC was for HPCS.
I think it probably is. What I think would be best, and I don't know if you could get enough agreement on this, but there's a set of, and I'm not sure of the number, but I'm going to say probably 4 or 5 different enough computational models out there that are representative of the majority of the tasks that people are doing. Now, some are mixing them together. That's fine and all of that. But what I would like to see is to actually do benchmarks based on the leading apps in those computational models. And I think that would truly be instructive.
Dan, this is one of the few times I've got something.
Wait, say it again?
I'm going to agree with you.
Holy
crap.
Is that
going to happen? Wow.
That's the first time, I think. Wow.
let me chime in here, guys. I think that any benchmark that stays static over time is questionable. I mean, this industry moves way too fast to still be doing a benchmark the same way we did 25 years ago, based on parameters on machines that were radically, radically different than what we're seeing today with these big Beowulf clusters that make up the lion's share of the top 500.
Well, we've got two problems there. So when you change the benchmark around, you lose comparability with the past. And then the other thing is, if we have a set of several benchmarks, how much time is it going to take to run them?
Sure, sure. There's issues with doing a suite, right? Because you get a set of numbers, and then you look at it, and, okay, which machine's better?
But then again, let me answer my own question here, that if a system, let's say the Blue Water system, if it's designed to do, and if it's intended to do a particular type of workload, then only test it on that workload. It doesn't make any sense to run a LINPAC on it if that's completely alien to what it's going to be doing. So they'd only be selecting one, maybe two, of that suite of three or four or five general benchmarks to run. And we would have, if it were me, I'd have separate lists for each of those. You still agreeing, Henry, or not?
I'm still agreeing with you, Dan. It's sad.
Yeah. Wow. What a precedent there.
Well, I think we're going to see, hopefully, a force function here. This move by NCSA with Blue Waters may not be the last machine we see doing this, and you might see that organization be more open to exactly what Dan is suggesting here.
We ought to talk to them and see if they're moving along those lines or if there's any thoughts along those lines. So I think that makes just too much sense. And it's pretty much how you do things in commercial.
Well, at the same time, they've got a whole ecosystem built around Top 500 that they're certainly going to want to preserve. I mean, I'm looking at the Top 500 site right now, guys, and there's this ad, and I won't say from who, but it says, Top 500 Connected, get recognized for your prestigious Top 500 achievement. Find out how.
But the thing is, I would look at it, if I were them, I would look at it as an opportunity, not as a threat. I would look at it as an opportunity to have, you know, five different lists, four different lists, whatever it is, and to be the stewards of it, of those.
Well, oddly enough, in this case, Dan, you might be the more reasonable of the two parties we're talking about.
Wow. That's also unusual. Okay. I'll take it, though, in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Well, I think we've beat this horse to death, and we've talked about it enough times. You know, LINPAC's got to change if it's going to represent the real world
and remain relevant.
Yes.
Yeah, and at the same time, NCSA is not the first big machine that has failed to submit. There are big machines in all kinds of industries that they just don't. This is just the one that got the most notice because we expected to see it in the top five or something. And they didn't even come in. So, big news.
Well, let's watch this and we'll see what happens.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.